Welcome to the International Franchise Association's Women's Franchise Committee podcast, Her Success, the Stories of Female Franchise Leaders. I'm Michelle Rowan with Franchise Business Review, and today I'm talking with Tam Kennedy, a 21-year franchisee of Taco John's with 8 restaurants in Minnesota and Iowa. Most recently, she's formed Performax Franchisee Advisors with 2 other partners, also franchisees, and they're using their experience and knowledge to help franchisors support and elevate struggling or complacent franchisees within their systems. She sits on the IFA's board of directors. She is currently the chair of the Franchisee Forum. She sits on the Franchise Relations Committee and frequently speaks in Washington and the media outlets talking about the impact of franchising and protecting our business model. So I'm exhausted just reading that. Yeah, I will say I am a huge Tam fan. I would consider her one of my favorite people in franchising.
Oh, thank you.
So generous, so stinking smart. So I'm thrilled to be able to ask you questions that I probably know the answer to some of them, but I'm sure I'll learn some more.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm going to do my very best to answer all of your questions. It's an honor to even participate in this. And I think that it's just such a great platform to be invited to. Super excited to do this. So fire away. Don't be too hard on me. This is not a presidential election. Nope. Take it easy.
This is all love. There's only one side.
All love.
Pro franchising. That's it.
Okay.
All we'll talk about today.
Right.
So I know I want you to tell this story because I don't know if you've done it in an interview before, but you have a fantastic story of how you got involved with franchising. So let's start there.
Sure. It is a different story than most. So 20 years old, needed a job. Was not able to go to college, very recently married, and went to the unemployment office. And at the time, this should date me, the only way that you can look up a job is to actually physically go to an unemployment office and go through like microfiche and streaming ads. And so went out on an interview for a secretary. It happened that the business owned franchises. So took the job, paid $4.05 an hour, was told that I could bring a book because all I was going to do was answer phones and I was going to be bored, which certainly was not what I wanted to do. So the franchisee at the time owned Taco John's, a brand that I am with now, and also Burger King's. And we had some laundromats and a couple of other things at the time.
Why so, not? Just throw it out.
Worked my way up through the administrative side, the accounting side, taught myself how to use a computer, figured out business taxes, love accounting and always did. So took over the books, eventually moved to Minnesota, took over the office up here that ran all the Taco John's. And 17 short years later, I got to buy the company that had hired me for $4 an hour. So that is my story.
It's amazing. And so as I've done more of these interviews, it's definitely becoming apparent that these strong female leaders that I'm talking to have this kind of hustle in them. I mean, you could have sat there with a book for $4 an hour and done exactly what was asked of you.
Sure.
What drove you to take on more, or how did you approach them to say you're more than a secretary for $4 an hour? Did they come to you? Did you have to advocate for yourself?
And I did. It is because I have, I think what I have in common maybe with all of the other women that I so admire in business is that I love to learn. I love to read. I want to study. And I always want to know maybe more than I've ever had a chance to know. And so learning to me is the key. And I also want to be diverse in what I know about. So, you know, at the time Burger King had just launched breakfast, we seemed to be missing a lot of the new breakfast inventory ingredients like sausage patties. And the complexity of it didn't seem terribly hard for me. So I built this little mathematical table on green bar paper with a pencil, trying to sort out what could be happening. And in the end, did a cost analysis by scratch, I guess, on exactly why we were losing these ingredients. And so I extended the math out and used that as a way, as a foundational shift in how we tracked inventory in all of the restaurants. And I think that was pretty much what launched me into, huh, there's more to her than just the ability to answer phones and speak professionally. So, I took it upon myself to, I felt the need and the loyalty to my owner that I wanted to bring value to the position and not just take wages. And so I asked if I could start doing some of the things that we were paying the accountants to do. And I wanted to do it. I wanted to make sure I did it right. So I would take little classes at night that the city had available. When it came time to learn about the restaurant industry in a bigger form, the idea was that I had thrown my hat into the ring to buy the company. And my boss at the time, the owner, said, you know 100% of the administrative piece, but you've never made a taco. And so I said, fine, I accept that challenge. I'll need, some time. He said, well, you've got a year. And so I worked all day running the office. And then I'd pick up my son from elementary school and go to one of the restaurants at night and learn everything from the kids that were running the shifts, from making tacos, counting inventory, all of it on my own time. And that's what it takes sometimes. That's what it takes. Everybody that I know that succeeds does it because they've taken the initiative. And that's an important word to me as well.
Well, the other thing too that you said that I like too is learning doing the other parts of the job.
Right.
Gives you a better understanding. I mean, how better to understand what someone's going through than if you do it and understand how it's
done? That authenticity is huge to directing and leading a team.
Yes.
Absolutely. Hard to motivate and inspire when you don't really understand what the world is. And so that has been a foundational key to kind of how I run my company today. There's really only one thing right now in our company that I don't do. Everybody knows in my company, I'm a cook. I love the process of food management. I love the data. I love the numbers, but I do not deal with cash registers well. They catch on fire when I try to ring things up and talk to a person at the same time. So everybody, when I walk into one of my restaurants, says, please don't go near our cash registers. And that's pretty much where that is. Maybe it's a technology thing. I'm not sure.
Well, and you obey their command.
I do. Absolutely.
I love it. So I'm going to jump around then, because I want to ask you, I think that you are a phenomenal leader. I think that leading food teams, restaurant teams, is probably the hardest job because you have a lower paid wage, you have a high turnover, you have a person that is dealing with customers that can be lovely or can be horrendous. I've come from food service. I feel like everyone should serve food at some point in their lives. It is such a great, great experience.
Yes.
But how do you work with these younger folks? How are you, you had said inspiring them or leading and authenticity, but you really are such a phenomenal leader. And I'd love for you to share some of those stories of how you work with these younger teams or high turnover teams.
It's probably, I appreciate that, because it's probably, as they say, my purpose, cause, and passion is the ability to give young people their first shot at employment. So food service, quick service food particularly, is very often someone's very first job. We offer entry-level wages, and we expect entry-level skills. But we also, and I've learned this because of my path in life, that we don't expect you to stay there. We expect to grow you and groom you and send you on your way to a different future. And think about it like this. This is the way I've always thought about it. Two things. One is, in life, it's possible that as a young person, you may not be happy at home. You may not enjoy school. And really, there's really only one other place left for you to find a place to fit in. And for me, I've created that in our company, and it's in the workplace. And so we have a true kind of family experience. And I would say that's because I know what that's like. I know what it's like to, having grown up moving constantly, being the new kid in the middle of the school year, walking into a classroom, not know anybody, not knowing where I was going to fit in or how I was going to, you know, make it. I mean, year after year, I went to so many schools in my life and in so many different places that I understand that uncomfortable feeling of not having the confidence to fit in. And so we solved that really early once it became my opportunity to, by teaching our management team that everybody wants to be on a team with people that like and respect them. And the biggest hurdle that you've got to get over is understanding that you're going to be on a team with people you didn't pick, right? These are not your best friends. These are not, you know, your little gang at school or your cousins that you hang out with on the weekend. These are all new people, and they learn the very first and most important rule of employment, which is getting along with everybody in a work team. And we teach that. There are different personalities. There's different skills that balance and counterbalance a work team. That is super important to me. It's also important to me that we find out what they really want out of life. We ask the question always, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I don't care how old you are. I'm going to ask them that. I'm going to ask them why they chose us and why they would like to work with us. It's a required question for every employee. And we want to hear them say, either my parents are making me get a job, or I need the money because I have a project that I'm saving up for, or whatever the answer is, we want to hear them say there's a reason for them to have the job. And then we start from there and we dig deeper and we try to tailor their work experience with what they want their outcome to be. Some people don't think that they have a chance in life. They really don't. They don't think they're ever going to have anything of value. And it's my unbelievable mission to change that for them, to give them a different outlook, give them real life skills to set their path in a different direction or help them move faster to a direction that they want. So that really is what I do. All at the same time, we sell tacos. There are lessons through every shift on every day that we use to teach the spirit of working on a team with people we didn't pick. And it's important to me to do that.
Yeah, that, I think that's probably the biggest thing I work on with my daughter is she would much rather manage her projects at school by her own because she has control over that. And she doesn't like this person. And I say the most important skill is to learn how to work with everybody. Because there's always going to be a team that you don't like somebody, but you
that's
can.
Right.
So that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a life lesson that we need to learn early and we need to apply. So
yes. Yes. And so while we're talking about these employees, I always love to ask the question, you know, I think that there's been so much talk about diversity, and I know that it's important in franchising, and I want to have those conversations and I want to support employees. And I just want to get your thoughts on how do you work the importance of inclusion into your staff or into your brand and make sure that people do feel safe where they're working and talking about things that are important to them or how they're affecting them.
Sure. Well, probably the way that I would say it in the most easy way is I'm really old school about this. Everybody's important to me, regardless of their personal choices, regardless of their background, regardless of their culture, regardless of their ancestry. Every employee is important to me. And we look beyond that. I have learned very specifically not to set up these kind of tight programs or little mini groups of things to talk about very specific issues as it might relate to inclusivity or diversity. That to me is the wrong approach. We are diverse just by the nature of having more than two people in a room, right? Male and female, young and old, experienced and less experienced. We can get to all of the, you know, race, ethnic backgrounds, socioeconomic backgrounds. That's not what we focus on. And by not focusing on that, we build that inclusive environment, right? We, all topics are good topics to talk about as long as they're talked about in a positive way. So no, we don't have special meetings. We don't have special pamphlets. We believe in the organic approach to inclusivity and diversity by making sure that our workplace is that. We have everybody on our teams, and that's what we want. That's always what I'm going to want, because everybody represents every community that I'm in. Now, I'm in urban communities, I'm in rural communities, I'm in high volume, high traffic, very busy communities, I'm in wealthy communities, I'm in not at all wealthy communities. All of that means that I have the ability to impact diversity and inclusivity. And again, we do that through very generally through the workforce that we hire. We look for the best candidates regardless. And it turns out that if somebody were to, on any given day, kind of break it down in a scientific model, you would see that we probably hit every box that there is to hit if somebody's trying to figure that out. And the way to, for me, that is the most important is to start with the idea that everybody's welcome, period. There is no off limits to anything about work. We go about our work every day, which in the end is just making really good tacos for our neighbors, by making sure that our team is reflective of those neighborhoods, and we don't have to force it. My general management team all understand that anybody, regardless of race, creed, religion, doesn't matter, has the opportunity to move up, move on, whatever it is they want. My management team, my leadership team, all are reflective of a very diverse, inclusive platform, because that is my foundational belief in what restaurants offer. It's who we are. It's what our neighborhoods are. And so we don't have big special meetings or anything like that, because we don't need to. We work side by side together. And even through here in Minneapolis, even through the rioting and the burning and all of that earlier this year, there were some worries for us, but we never had to call like these full team meetings to talk about all of it. It was remarkable. I will tell you, it was remarkable. Our teams, regardless, wanted to stand by their stores and make sure not, they wanted to stay in the stores and make sure nothing happened in the stores. I had to force my teams to go home and be safe. I had to have 160 people check in to make sure they made it home on the night that it got really bad. It was incredible. They all were like, no, we're going to stay and protect the store. No, we're going to go home and protect our families. And it's a real testament to how much they care about each other and how strong they feel about this, their new unit, their work unit. So that's how we approach it. I hope that we'll always be able to do that. It is, as long as I can, that is the way I would like to keep it, as open and reflective as I can.
Yeah. Well, and I would say too, that what you just gave for your example of your people protecting your stores, you always put your people first. And yeah. So that is, you know, a lot of business owners were forced with that decision of how do you protect your business or your people? So I think that speaks to how you're like a mama bear. You just take care of everything.
I am. And you probably just heard me call them all kids. And I do. It's a bad habit. It's not disrespectful in any way.
Yeah.
But over all of these many years, you know, I've had more than 10,000 employees. Wow. And it's a huge responsibility to give them what they need and be there for the things that they need. It's a huge opportunity as well to be part of their life and make it better. Nothing's more rewarding than having them come back 20 years later, 10 years later, and show me pictures of their new children and tell me what they're doing in their new career, or you know, filling me in on what's going on in their life. And that's the best part of what I do is creating that kind of that life for them.
That's when you say over 10,000 employees, that's insane. Insane. So, okay. So I love asking this question. Okay. If you could tell, if Tam now could tell Tam 20 years ago something, what would you tell her?
Boy, there's a couple. Probably the most important thing I would say would be to listen more and talk less. You know, when you're driven towards carving out your place, and here in this company, it was fighting to move up and fighting to be recognized and wanting to be an owner of my own business. You know, I'm an aggressive person in that way that I want to be number one, highly competitive, want to be involved in everything. And sometimes I probably should have slowed down and listened more to some of the advice that was maybe being offered me and been more thoughtful of everybody that was involved in some of the decisions, very hard decisions that had to be made over the course of all these years. Listening is a learned skill. I have still not mastered it. I'm better now that I'm older. I'm a grandmother. That has been life-changing in terms of listening because I have to try to decipher like baby talk, which means that I have to really listen. And my employees, I think, are grateful that I'm a better listener now. But it used to be my way or the highway. And now it's let's consider all the perspectives. And, you know, 37 years ago, I was pretty sure I was right about everything. And now I'm sure that I could have used a little more input than what I was willing to listen to.
It's like I'm looking in a mirror right now.
Yeah, well,
I agree.
Women look back and think, boy, I don't know if I was as nice as I could have been.
Yeah. Well, and I also think, I always wonder, can better listening come before it does come with age? Is there a way to have it come before? Is there a way to impart a little wisdom in us? And I think it's also too, maybe a little bit of, you can be seen as weak if you ask for help. That's
nice. That you're right. And when you are competing and you're driven for success, you don't want to show weakness. And so you're right about that. And it's a very good point. And it's there is no class that you take in high school or college that can help you understand the balance that you have to have when approaching leadership. And matching the goals of what you want to lead and your personal goals of, you know, I like to call it world domination. So, you know, that it's hard when you know you want to conquer everything. It's like Veruca Salt in Willy Wonka. I want an Oompa Loompa and I want it now, Daddy.
Right now,
is me. All the time. One of our core values in our company is results through spirited competition. And it is a fact that we do use competition to motivate and inspire and to create leaders. And it's been part of my life. And sometimes that means first or nothing. And listening probably would have softened that a little bit for me.
Yeah. I agree. Oh, that's a good piece of advice. Well, I want to say thank you so much. You really have one of the biggest hearts and you're so generous. I mean, you give your time. I've called you on several occasions to just pick your brain and you're always open. So we do this to try and tell the story of how people got to where they are, but also to encourage people to reach out and connect with each other.
That
I feel like you're part of the network I've met through franchising that I'm just so thankful that our paths have crossed and stories are out there. So I want to encourage younger and new people in franchising to get more involved. And
agreed. Absolutely. And I can't thank you enough for giving me the opportunity. And I do want to say that, you know, no success story is written by one. It does take the support of everybody to help push and pull you into the directions that you think you're going. And for you, Michelle, and for all of my franchise family, or what I call my family, I am a better human being. I'm certainly a better member of the franchising community. And I feel like it's made me ultimately a better leader in franchising by getting to know everybody in IFA and throughout the franchising world. So thanks again for letting me share a little bit.
That's actually a great point. And it's not a straight shot to where you want to go. So we've seen each other go through those ups and downs too.
Yes, we have. I appreciate you handing me the Kleenex when I have one of my meltdowns. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Tam.
Sure. Absolutely.